Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Second Amendment Tuesday's focus on New Hampshire legislature. Who else, right? Oh, boy, we'll talk about House Bill 29. What is House Bill 29? We'll tell you next year on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live, Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean. How are you today, Penny?
Fine, how are you?
Woo, boy, do we have a lot to get to today, huh?
I'm telling you, we have got, there's lots of legislation going on this week. That's the topic of the day is legislation.
Ah, I hear that.
There's just, you know, there's all these bills floating around and all these rumors about the bills floating around. And I have to say to people that whenever someone tells you things that you go, huh, that doesn't make sense, then you have to go, yeah, it probably doesn't make sense. So why is that? The first one is HB 29, and we're going to call it myth busting. And
okay.
HB 29 would simply allow a person, as they did in the past for the past 12 years that I've practiced law, go to either the district court or the superior court if they were denied a license to carry. And I can tell you in my years of practice, I hesitate to use the word never. Lawyers hate to use the word never. But I don't ever recall ever taking a case to district court. I took everyone to superior court. And the reason I took it there is several fold. Now, clients, of course, have to pay a filing fee in superior court. They have to pay for service of process by the sheriff in superior court, where if you file in district court, there's no filing fee for the client. And the clerk serves the entity, so you don't have to pay, if you will, a service fee. So from a client perspective, it costs the client a little less money from that part to file in district court.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a million reasons you might want to file in superior court. And I've heard rumors that lawyers make more money in superior court. And I want to know how you do that, because I, for one, charge the same in every court I'm in. So if there's a way that I make more money in superior court, I want somebody to call me up and tell me that.
Okay.
Because I don't know the way. So you say, well, why would a client choose to pay a filing fee and go through all that if they can file for free in district court? And quite frankly, it's like everything else. There are judges out there who have certain reputations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, judges are supposed to be unbiased, but I tell people, judges are human like everybody else. Their wife pees them off because she bought too much on the credit card. Their son gets tattooed. Their daughter gets pregnant. All these things happen to them just like every other human being on planet Earth. And they're not supposed to take those woes to work, but they're human. And
mm-hmm.
for anyone to say that they don't, I have seen very few judges in my lifetime who truly have what I call judicial temperament, which is they just do an incredible job of being neutral. And so in the past, at least in my experience, I always chose Superior Court judges. And this bill, and up until the Grand case, I always did that. And then the Grand case, Judge McHugh, said, no, you misunderstand the law. You can't come here. And I said, but you just decided, you know, John Evans just had a case filed in your court a few months ago, and here's your signature on it, and you let that go through. How is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't get an answer. And I said, wait a minute, if you're unclear on the law, I can bring in the original drafters of the law. I can bring in all the members that sat on the committee. And at the time, some of them offered to give me affidavits, and you can hear their testimony. Nope, I'm the judge, and I decide the law is clear. You can't come here.
Huh.
And so I appealed the case to the New Hampshire Supreme Court, thinking this is a no-brainer. I've always filed, and I, you know, pointed out for the judge of all the other Superior Court cases that I had decided, and even Supreme Court cases that we had appealed from the Superior Court to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. And they decided them, never once saying, you're in the wrong court. Because, of course, in my mind, we weren't. The law was very clear. Well, this time the Supreme Court said, no, even though we've decided those decisions in the past, we want to be clear now. That was an error if we did. Yes. So we are going to clarify this now for you. And here's what I've learned. Whenever courts clarify for you, it's never a good thing, because what that means is where, you know, literally where you go, this doesn't make sense to me. So the funny thing is, when I was in legislative services with Representative Cunningham, when HB 29 was filed, the first thing that legislative services did is come back to me. They said, we can't do this. We don't need this. I said, why? They said, because you already can go to Superior Court. Look, there's two laws right here. I said,
oh, yeah? Yeah, well, let me tell you a story. Sit down, honey. I got something to tell you.
And so I said to them, I said, well, I agree with you. However, I am not one of the five chosen people who wear black robes and sit in Concord, and they are the final arbiter of what these laws say. And legislative services attorney said, no, 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 you don't understand. And I handed him the grand decision.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh. And he said, I don't think they're right. I said, well, I don't think they're right either. But it doesn't matter, because I'm not wearing a black robe. And, you know, they're the final arbiters of what's right. So I said, what we need to do here is simply make it absolutely crystal clear, make the law clear, so that there's no gray area. If there's any gray area, it'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, they said, okay, and it went through the committee. And those who are opposed to it are telling what I call absolute falsehoods. Number one, they're saying, well, if you allow people to go to Superior Court, they're going to get a jury trial. And the answer is no. There's a lot of matters that go to Superior Court where people do not get jury trials, and they would not be entitled to a jury trial. They next say, this is going to cost the taxpayers a whole lot of money. And I'm like, how does it cost any more to file a case in district court or versus Superior Court for the taxpayers? The judges in those courts are paid precisely the same amount of money. I presume the clerks are paid the same amount of money. And in Superior Court, the state actually makes money because they collect a $180 filing fee and a $25, what I call a penalty assessment right now. The state calls it a tax. But the state calls it a tax. That you can label it whatever you want. The gist of it is, if you want to file your case in Superior Court, you have to pay $205 to the clerk. So if you're filing the same case in district court, you pay nothing. So I say, yeah, the litigant has
Why is that? Because if I went to sue somebody in district court, I'd have to pay a filing fee and pay for service and the like.
Because that's the way the statute is.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah. And so,
well, good for the gun owners who are aggrieved. You know, they don't have to pay. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. And they shouldn't. But the thing is, they've always had to pay in Superior Court. But here's my issue. A person, a taxpayer, a citizen, has the right to spend their money the way they want. It's kind of like you have a right to buy a $500,000 car or a $10,000 car. That's your right. Mm-hmm. Do they both take you down the road from point A to point B? Absolutely. But for the general court to say that it would cost the taxpayers more money, absolutely the opposite is true. If HB 29 passes and people continue to file in Superior Court, the taxpayers are going to save money. Because if you file in district court, you pay nothing. If you file in Superior Court, you pay $205.
Was there a fiscal note attached to HB 29?
There was not. Or the fiscal note basically said, which I found a little bit disingenuous, basically had no answer. In other words, it was basically saying that there will be no change type thing. And I found that to be, at least in my mind, not entirely correct, because I personally believe that you would make more money, if you will, that the state would make more money if you let this bill pass. Because
okay.
People file in Superior Court, you go 205 times whatever. Plus,
sure.
You have to pay the sheriff to serve them.
Right, okay, exactly.
So let's say you're suing, you know, the town of Exeter, okay? You have to send the orders and notice to the sheriff, and you have to pay the sheriff for service, where if mm-hmm. you file in district court, the clerk does all that work free of charge to the petitioner. And I tell
wow.
people, yeah. So in other words, that's even costing more court time, right?
Yeah. And, okay. And we know that the courts aren't exactly awash in money right now, are they?
No. The courts are struggling financially. And so here's what we have. And so I really find this disingenuous, if you will, for people to be telling, you know, for certainly anyone to be saying in the if you look at what the Republicans published in their little blog, if you will, their little magazine, they basically suggested that this was going to cost a whole pile more money. And I was like, wait a minute, somebody tell me how this is going to cost more money. It makes absolutely no sense to me. You know, in other words, it's actually going to, if not save the state money, make the state money, because you're going to save the state from having, if you will, work for free in district court where they're not being paid filing fees or anything, and get some money in Superior Court.
All right, so this House Bill 29, that was heard before committee. What happened in the committee?
The committee, at least in my mind, was receptive to the bill. Okay.
This is the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee.
Absolutely. And then they've had a reconsideration. And so at least from my mind, I'm looking to get the actual recorded votes of the committee. I don't have those yet. It's like 11-6 right now, I believe.
Okay.
They want to ITL the bill.
Inexpedient to legislate, which would effectively kill it.
Absolutely. They want to, what I call, kill the bill. And I think that's just not appropriate, given the good things this bill will do. And it's really an anti-freedom stance. And here's what I tell people, even if you don't like firearms, what the general court is saying to you is, we want to dictate. We're going to be a nanny state, and we're going to tell you how you can spend your money. Because the bottom line in this particular case is, these are the litigants choosing how to spend their money. And we hear things like the police and the city is going to have to spend all this time and go, and I'm like, wait a minute, whether you have a one-day hearing in Superior Court or a one-day hearing in District Court, time, is it not?
Right.
You know, so in other words, I don't, you know what I mean? I can't imagine that it's going to cost anybody any more in District or Superior Court time-wise. And the bottom line is, I look at it no differently. There's a lot of things that you can file in state court or federal court. There's just a lot of different things.
Well, I just don't see how this would also, if they pass House Bill 29, how would this result in a rush on the courthouses, so to speak? Was that claim brought up at all?
You know what? That claim wasn't brought up, but by golly, that would be one of the silly claims that I could think of them saying. You know, in other words, mm-hmm. This was like, people are going to get jury trials, and I was like, where does it say that anywhere?
Well, let me ask this question. So now they voted to ITL this bill, which would procedurally, that goes on the House consent calendar.
Absolutely.
Which would be, you know, bunched in there with maybe 80, 90, 10 dozen other pieces of legislation, however many it might be,
yep.
Where they just do a straight up and down vote to accept the committee recommendation. Usually what happens when they come to that consent calendar item in the House session, a sponsor of the bill or any legislator can ask that bill be pulled from the consent calendar and be debated on the House floor.
Absolutely. And I hope that Representative Cunningham is going to do just that. This is all going to be heard, and all the bills we're talking about are going to be heard on the House floor, or will be on the House floor, the second, which is tomorrow. And that's exactly the issue that we're talking about is, you know, I think people need to know what's going on and say, look, this is the problem that we have here, is why in the world are these people voting against an anti-freedom bill, or, you know, a freedom bill that gives people freedom of choice and allows people to make their own choice about what they want to do in situations like this? Because this is really a money bill about citizens, not about taxpayers. It's not going to cost taxpayers a darn nickel. And I think what's more important here is they talk about, you know, different choices. And I think people want to be able to choose their own court, you know, their own, whenever they can. Some people, like I said, choose federal court versus state court, you know, and that's exactly how it should be in this particular case.
Mm.
And so I think, like I said, that this is an important bill to look at, to say, why would it matter? Why would supposedly people who we, in theory, have a Republican majority, and these are criminal justice and public safety, why would they not support this bill?
All right. 1-866-823-1077. Penny Dean joining us here on Bulldog Live. When we come back from this break, we'll talk more about other pieces of legislation, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it with Second Amendment Tuesdays here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.